Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our session on population-specific research topics. My name is Samantha Williams, and I work with the Center for Disease Control. And our co-captain for today is Dr. Bradley Stoner, who is with the American STD Association. We have four speakers today. They're going to take about 15 minutes apiece, and we're going to leave all the questions towards the end. And our first speaker is Devin Hensel, who's with Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. That's really long.
IUPUI.
Okay, excellent. And she's going to do a presentation on the influence of young men's sexual health on relationship-based STI risk behaviors. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. So as many of you know, adolescents are disproportionately impacted by the adverse outcomes associated with sexual activity. And for the most part, traditional prevention approaches to these outcomes have appropriately centered on sexual abstinence, delay of sexual activity initiation, and consistent condom and contraceptive use. A significant limitation of this focus, however, is that it obscures better how a young person's relationships and experiences both precede and organize their sexual activity. The concept of sexual health has emerged in the last few years directly from this limitation and is a public health paradigm directly endorsing the importance of positive sexuality across the lifespan. This paradigm recognizes that sexuality is broadly experienced across a spectrum of physical, mental, social, and emotional well-being indicators related to sexuality, including, but in this case more importantly, transcending a narrow focus on adverse outcomes such as sexually transmitted infections and unintended pregnancy. For adolescents in particular, these indicators are developmental skills that they need to manage healthy and responsible sexual behavior during their lifespan. Literature additionally confirms that emerging romantic and sexual relationships in adolescence are key developmental venues for the learning and refining of these different skills. Between adolescence and adulthood, individuals normatively participate in several different sequential relationships. In the case of young men, each of them help him practice the emotional management, communication, and negotiation skills needed to support lifelong control over if, when, and how he chooses to have sex or when he chooses not to have sex. Thus, from a sexual health perspective, understanding the content of these romantic and sexual relationships is an important enhancement to existing public health surveillance and prevention efforts, as this information can be leveraged to dually support young men's decisions to be sexually abstinent or to reduce sexual risk when sex occurs. To date, however, little empirical evidence has linked adolescent men's relationship-specific sexual health to any STI-associated behaviors that also might occur in that relationship. So the objectives of the research I'm going to present to you were twofold: to empirically evaluate a partner-specific, multidimensional model of young men's sexual health, and two, and more importantly, to understand the association of this relationship-specific sexual health to different outcomes that are associated with STI, including intimate partner violence, sexual coercion, sexual partner concurrency, and condom use during vaginal sex. Data for the study were drawn from the Young Men's Project, a longitudinal cohort study on sexual relationships and sexual behavior in middle to late adolescence. As part of this larger project, 14 to 17-year-old young men were recruited using community-focused methods from multi-ethnic areas in Indianapolis, Indiana. They provided quarterly assessments on individual and partner-specific attitudes, the content of their relationships, and the sexual and contraceptive behaviors occurring with a specific partner. Information from these quarterly interviews provided information on the sexual health dimensions and the STI behaviors I'll show to you in a moment. Prior to beginning analyses, we developed a conceptual model to articulate the empirical structure of sexual health, as well as the relationship of sexual health to the different risk behaviors. To evaluate our first objective, using the World Health Organization and CDC sexual health definitions as an organizing framework, we identified four dimensions of well-being related to sexuality, shown in the left in blue, that collectively contributed to a larger sexual health factor, shown in green. In the next part of our model, to evaluate the second objective, we hypothesized the sexual health factor would individually predict different relationship-based STI behaviors, as shown here in yellow. Our sexual health measure was constructed in several steps. First, in keeping with our conceptual model, we selected 12 individual multi-item scales from our interview data to operationalize the sexual health definition. This table illustrates each of these 12 individual multi-item scales, and as you see in the right-hand column, each of them were mapped specifically within the domains identified in the WHO and CDC sexual health definitions. Each of these individual scales had good to excellent reliability. After selecting these 12 individual measures, we standardized each of them to put them all on the same metric, and then we created a single larger additive sexual health index, which we used as a predictor variable in all following models. This overall scale had good reliability. Turning now to the outcome variables. Intimate partner violence included four different behaviors a man either received or perpetrated during conflict with his partner, including throwing something at a partner or having something thrown at him, being hit, kicked, or pushed. Sexual coercion included four behaviors, including receiving money from his partner for sex, a partner's getting mad if he didn't want to have sex, a partner's threatening to break up with him if he didn't want to have sex, and a partner's making him have sex even if he didn't want to. We also examined sexual partner concurrency, one current partner versus two or more current partners, and the frequency of condom use during vaginal sex. Linear ordinal logistic regression was used to assess the influence of the sexual health measures' influence on continuous or categorical outcomes depending upon the metric of the outcome variable. And in all models, a generalized estimating equation approach was used to adjust estimates for multiple interviews contributed by the same young man. All models additionally controlled for age and race, ethnicity. Turning now to results. Focusing on intimate partner violence, as shown in the left-hand column, higher partner-specific sexual health was significantly associated with a lower likelihood of a young man hitting his partner during conflict. As shown in the right-hand column, higher partner-specific sexual health was also significantly associated with the lower odds of a young man's partner throwing something at him, hitting him, kicking him, or pushing him during conflict. Higher partner-specific sexual health was protective against a young man's partner threatening to break up with him if he didn't want to have sex. Sexual health was not associated with current number of sexual partners. And finally, partner-specific sexual health was associated with higher overall condom use of all sexual partners. In further investigation, we also found that sexual health positively predicted more frequent condom use in both single and current multiple partner relationships. Sexual health continues to evolve as an important complement to traditional disease control efforts, and a cornerstone of these efforts include leveraging romantic and sexual relationships to promote healthy and responsible sexual behavior. Our data provided here gives support to this orientation by demonstrating that sexual health in young men's relationships was associated with a reduction in several STI-associated risk behaviors in those relationships, including lower intimate partner violence, lower sexual coercion, and higher condom use. Our findings also join an expanding conversation about how sexual health can be positioned to open up new avenues of intervention. For example, prevention efforts commonly focus on reducing or eliminating participation in multiple partner sexual relationships, as these are often associated with lower condom use. Yet our finding that sexual health increases condom use in both single and multiple partner relationships confirms that sexual health can be a vehicle and is relevant for all relationship types. The idea that sexual well-being can be emphasized in relationships that have been typically labeled as high risk is virtually unaddressed in the adolescent STI literature and could provide an alternative means of reducing risk when community norms or perceived low partner availability make monogamy unfeasible. Some limitations to the current findings should be considered. We need other data to extend these analyses to more racially and geographic balanced samples of young men. And an ongoing interest of ours, particularly, is to understand how sexual health works in adolescents who choose same-sex partners and those who choose both same and opposite-sex partners. And ongoing interest of ours also include extending these in a more developmental fashion to understand particularly how sexual health, it's protective in adolescents, does that protective effect extend into emerging adulthood and later into adulthood. In conclusion, I wish to acknowledge the research staff of the Young Men's Project as well as the funding sources for the study. Thank you.